Support for today's broadcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic Farm Marketing is now holding a series of risk management seminars throughout Illinois and Indiana. Information on seminar dates and locations is available at sfarmmarketing.com or 800-383-0046.
It's 8:50 on Morning Edition, and we'll move on to our pre-opening commodity market report now with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Monday morning, everyone. The Midwest Direct Hog markets today are called steady to as much as $1 per hundredweight higher due to marketing being more current and some packers reportedly needing additional animals for early week delivery. Terminals are called steady to higher with tops from $39.50 to $44.50. Peoria called 50 cents higher today with a top price of $39.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, January 19th, negotiated swine purchases were 12,063. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $52 to $61.07. The weighted average was $57.38, a loss of 15 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $40.50 to $49.50, the weighted average $46.51. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 16,415. The base price range was $51.50 to $62.50. The weighted average was $60.15, a gain of 51 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $40.68 to $49, and the weighted average was $45.84.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. Well, we got a fresh coat of snow across a good portion of the Midwest, and the Corn Belt did receive between 2 to 8 inches of snow, and some lowland flooding will persist across the Ohio Valley into the lower Great Lakes region. Rain lingers in the central Gulf states all the way into the southern mid-Atlantic states, although warm, dry weather maintaining irrigation requirements across southern Florida. Western states, chilly weather lingers, and more rain for the Pacific Northwest. Well, more rain for the lower elevations, upper elevations picking up snow. But the big story continues to be the cold in California, starting to ease a little bit. But the San Joaquin Valley today had their 12th consecutive morning around the Bakersfield area with a temperature of 32 degrees or lower. Further to the south, rain and snow showers affecting parts of Arizona and New Mexico. That's the U.S. weather at a glance. Outside our borders in Brazil, rain fell across about 80% of the summer crop region over the weekend in Brazil. The area that did not receive rain included Bahia, northern and eastern Minas Gerais, Espírito Santo, and amounts where it did range. Range from around 1 to 3 inches in western Santa Catarina through Paraná and southern Minas Gerais, as well as in far eastern Mato Grosso do Sul. Rainfall of a third of an inch up to an inch occurred elsewhere, with heavy rain falling in far southwestern Mato Grosso, where an inch to more than 5 inches reported. No big changes in the forecast over the next couple weeks relative to what we talked about most of last week. That is, rain will fall frequently. It will be concentrated in the region from Sao Paulo into southern Minas Gerais, northern Paraná, to Mato Grosso, where the ground is already saturated. That could cause some problems. Further north and east, the southern grain and oilseed areas not likely to receive as much precipitation. And temperatures over the next couple weeks, very seasonable, with highs in the 80s and lower 90s occurring most often, maybe even a few upper 70s during the rainier days. As far as Argentina, scattered showers and thunderstorms occurred over the weekend. Rainfall highly variable, up to around 3 inches occurring in the west-central portion of Entre Rios near the Santa Fe border. Heavy rain also occurred in northeastern Entre Rios, where more than 3 inches of rain reported. Most of the weekend precipitation was light, varying up to a half inch, although Santa Rosa La Pampa, one of the driest regions across Argentina, did report almost a full inch of rain, about 9/10 of an inch of rain there. Coverage was close to 60%. Buenos Aires, Santiago del Estero, and the remainder of the far northwestern region of Argentina were the driest. Rain will fall over all of Argentina at one time or another over the next week. Sufficient amounts of rain will occur to bolster soil moisture and assure that no long-term dryness occurs in the bulk of the key production areas. And the second week of two-week forecast may trend a little drier once again. Outside of the American continent, Australia picked up some rain Friday through Sunday in eastern portions of South Australia to Victoria and both western and southern New South Wales. The totals varied widely. A few locations, an inch to 3 inches. Most locations received about an inch or so. Precipitation was good for rice and rangeland, but will not have much long-term impact on the small grain quality. Frequent showers and thunderstorms are expected to occur across eastern Australia for the next full week, and some of the rain may be locally heavy, and all areas in eastern Australia are expected to be impacted at one time or another. By the end of the first forecast week, all areas should have picked up between 3/4 of an inch to up to 2.5, and several areas could receive as much as 4 inches, with local flooding possible in some of the areas around heavy thunderstorm activity. The precipitation in Australia should go a long way to improving the short-term crop conditions as well as the production potential. And that's a look at your growing area weather. I'm Mike Zola.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City March wheat opened at 488 3/4, down a half last trade down 1 3/4. July, $5, down a half last trade down 3.5. March wheat at the Board of Trade in Chicago opened at 466, down 1. Last trade down 1.5. July, 484 3/4, down 1.5. Last trade down 2 3/4. December, 501 1/4, up 1/4. Last trade down 1. March corn opened at 405, down 1 3/4. Last trade down 3. May, 416 1/2, down 1.5. Last trade down 3 3/4. July, 422 3/4, down 1.5. Last trade down 3.5. December, 390 down 3/4. Last trade down 1 1/4. March 2008, 394 down 2. Last trade unchanged. March beans opened at 713 1/2, down 4 1/4. Last trade down 6 3/4. July, 743 down 3.5. Last trade down 8. November, 765 down 4 1/4. Last trade down 5.5. March soybean meal opened at 208.50, down 80. Last trade down 190. March soybean oil opened at 29.25, down 5. Last trade down 16. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
Do you think that based on the technical action that we saw last Friday with a weaker close that we're in line this week for maybe a period of consolidation and backfilling?
That's what it sure looks like at this point. I think that the fact that we had 4 days where we made attempts to go up and really kind of struggled to try and hold those gains on the day, coming back to finish on 3 of those 4 days towards our low for the day would tell me this market's ready for a bit of a setback, which, as you and I talked earlier, is kind of healthy for the market. I think your major issue is going to be, can you get back and fill the gaps down here, which I think are going to be a struggle to do at this point, especially in light of Informa giving us that light corn acreage number of 85.6 million acres. Most of us were looking for bigger numbers there, but that in itself is a little bit negative that they come out on the low side of the trade estimates on where we think acreage are going to go, and especially where we think acreage needs to go, up roughly 10 million acres, and they were 7.1 or somewhere thereabouts increase on acreage out here. I think you probably have a market that wants to set back just a brief amount, and then it probably takes off and runs again. And if we think back to 96 when the market made its run to $5, it didn't go straight up. We get up to a level, especially get above $4, you start seeing some of that backfilling take place. News this morning is actually fairly light. We sold 122,000 tons to Japan. Other than that, I haven't seen any major news out here. Beans, I still believe, are strictly a follower, Dave. I think they're following what the corn's doing. On my S&D tables, You know, I take the acres out that Informa pulled away, and I still come up very easily over 300 million bushels of beans for carryout next year. And I think that we are buying bean acres in South America. So I think beans are still following what the corn's doing. Got a very good crop coming off of South America right now. Early on, we're going to go with corn roughly down 3 to 4 cents here to get started. I think beans will be down the 8 cents that they were down in overnight session. Wheat market is going to be somewhat a little lackluster on the downside because it's taken a pretty good hit. Even last week was down pretty hard.
Very quickly then, over to the Merck. We get about 30 seconds.
Oh, we're going to see the hogs, I think, try and firm up just a little bit early this morning. I don't think that'll hold. I'm ready for a little bit of a setback in the hog market also. Cattle's going to spend their week trying to get ready for the cattle and feed report on Friday. I'm going to call cattle steady better as we get started, but I think selling will ensue after that.
Thank you much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana, and he joins us every Monday morning on the pre-opening commodity market report. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at willag.org.